Hey, welcome to Life 2.0 Podcast. I'm John St. Augustine, delighted to have you, join me from everywhere and anywhere around planet Earth. Time to go up the down staircase in the outdoor, make sense out of the senseless, and if at all possible, find the obvious buried in the absurd. Let's get to it. Greetings, fellow humans. Glad to have you on board one more time. The Life 2.0 Podcast. When I started this little experiment going on 4 years ago, the concept of Life 2.0, which is taking life to the next level, not down but up, was the idea. And the conversations that I put out and the conversations I have with guests on occasion, that's the goal. The whole thing is to see if we can't, as I start out the show, every show, go up that down staircase, go in the outdoor, make sense out of the frickin' senseless, and try to find the obvious truths buried in the constant absurdities of life. And sometimes I think I'm right on the nail head, and sometimes I think, why don't you just shut up and do something else? But that is good balance for me. I think about all the things that I've discussed over the many, many years I've been in radio, and of course, podcasting 4 years, radio 25 years. There's an overlap of a few years there, when I was kind of learning the platform of podcasting, which, you know, it's a double-edged sword, like most things. I think technology is great. It allows me to sit here in Chicago and connect with people all over the world. I know you'll be listening in Scotland and Australia and England and Canada and South America and South Africa and here in the United States. So all over the world, people have the ability and the opportunity to listen to the Life 2.0 podcast because of the technology that allows for that. The delivery system, as it were. My job is to deliver the mail, whether you actually open it up and read it, do anything with it, that's up to you. So I get to bloviate, speculate, and oftentimes verbally defecate, and you get to listen in. The other side of that is, when you think of the technology, because it's basically has access to about 95% of the world, anybody and everybody can jump in and have their own quote podcast or broadcast. There was a time where it was a much smaller circle. When I started in radio in 1997, there was AM, FM, and this emerging thing called satellite radio. And I never, ever thought that it would take off. I thought, why in the world would anybody pay to listen to anything? You know, I mean, back when cable TV started, it was supposedly free. Some of you might remember this. Cable TV's coming. It's going to be free. Well, that didn't last long. And so, but the model for satellite was different to me. You know, for years, you listen on AM terrestrial radio or FM radio, and you don't physically have to pay anything for it. You just have to endure the commercials that pay for it. So there's a blueprint there, and that was the format. And so when the idea started rolling around, I actually met one of the guys that started XM way, way back in the day. His idea was people will pay for what they want. They want to have choice, and they will pay for that. And, you know, that's why when you're listening to the quote, terrestrial radio, you can flip the channels or, you know, flip the switch when a commercial comes on or it's a song you don't like, whatever. People want choice. And I still didn't believe it. Even when I got to Harpo, I went to Harpo in 2004 originally and showed the idea of Oprah Radio to Miss Winfrey and Bill Bennett, who was the president of her company at the time. And they thought it was a great idea. They just, you know, Howard Stern had just signed a multi-million dollar, multi-year deal with, at the time, there was two separate companies, XM and Sirius. And so he, I don't know which one he started with, but anyway, I knew whoever the other one was, they're going to come for her eventually, and they did, and I wanted them to be ready, and I knew Miss Winfrey a little bit already, so, you know, it was easier to get in the door. It took 2 years, 2006, before I actually went down to Chicago and helped build out the channel, and even then, I didn't believe it. I thought, come on, you know, but I've been wrong 7 times in my life. That's one of them. So, here we are with this technology. My point is that when you, back in the AM FM day, because it was fairly limited to reach and scope and things like there are still radio stations that power off at 6 o'clock at night, don't power up again until the next morning. If you're of a certain vintage, you remember when televisions went off at midnight, they played the national anthem and that was it. And then you'd wait till the next morning for them to resume their broadcast day. So it was very limited. And I think along the lines sometimes of like the old radio serials, the Jack Benny Show and things like that. You know, when you had talent and if you were big enough to hold that platform, because that's what it was back in the day, it was a platform, then you became a superstar, and then you kind of got to call the shots and you know, see how things went. And it was a very small downline from that. Different levels, people doing things, and of course it started to expand. But now, literally, anybody who has a cell phone can do a podcast. That doesn't mean it's worth listening to, in my humble opinion, but that makes it very crowded, and it's hard to navigate those waters sometimes. So, on one hand, I've been doing this long enough that I think what's happened is radio has carried over for me. People who've listened to me for years at WGN or Oprah Radio or, you know, in Michigan or wherever I've been, you know, they kept following me wherever I went. And then the books, of course, people read the books and then they follow it, and the TED Talks. And so all this stuff, I'm, you know, built a platform for better, for worse, that works for me. And so I don't take this lightly. I don't take myself very seriously, but I take this shit seriously because, you know, the technology allows for the connection. And that connection is all important. Fred Rogers, the late, great Mr. Rogers, said when it came to television that the space between the viewer and the host is sacred. It should be treated as such. I think that's long gone. But I think of radio and podcasting in much the same way, that what I'm talking about hopefully has value to you, that you're thinking enough of this program, especially the people that are subscribing to the show for $20 a month, $5 a week, 66 cents a day, you know, that they're supporting that. It means the world to me. You know, this is not a giant for, listen, I'm not Joe Rogan, wouldn't mind those numbers, but I don't talk about that other stuff. I think that what's done here is far more commonsensical for these uncommon times we live in. And if it's a smaller group, so be it. It goes where it goes. I don't spend a whole lot of time chasing things anymore. I just see what washes up on the shore. So it's a long way around for me to say thank you for listening. We just passed 10,000 downloads. I think Rogan does that in an hour. But I wouldn't trade places, I'm here to tell you. The theme today is karma. And it's not so much that I understand what karma is or isn't, depending on your beliefs. You know, the karmic kickback is, in my opinion, is a very real thing. And I've had two opportunities in the last 4 months to learn about that. And let me just set the scenario here. So we needed a new driveway, and I had a guy come out over the last 3 or 4 years and give me estimates. And of course, the price always went up every year because everything else goes up every year. And I didn't pull the trigger 2 years ago, and it went up, and I'm like, okay, and getting close to it. Same guy, great guy. And so I'm thinking this over, mulling it over, and it's a fairly major expense, but it's got to be done. This is a 60-year-old house plus, and the driveway is from, you know, Eisenhower's president, so it's got to be done. And I go to the gym 3-4 days a week, and I'm driving around thinking about, you know, it's time to get this thing finished off. And I drive past some guys pouring concrete, a concrete driveway at about 5 blocks from here. And I stop and look, and I watch it. And look, I worked concrete my junior high school and senior high school years, and I think a year or two in college during the summers, you know, when we had the ability to do that. And I believe when I came out of the service in 84, I worked another year to catch up with things. So I know my way around concrete and construction and driveways, and I've broken them out, and I've poured them, and I've finished them, and I've done all that. So I'm pretty well versed in this stuff, even though it's been a very long time. But that stuff, you know, you don't forget those kind of trade skills. So I'm watching them do their thing. It looks like they know what they're doing. Okay, great. And I see the guy. And it looked, there's a small crew, like 3 or 4 guys, and they're busting their ass. And I thought, well, let me see what this guy's up to. So I talk with him. He gives me his card. He comes out, gives me an estimate that's about $500 more than the other guy. But I just had this feeling that maybe this guy should get the business. You know, the other guy works for the village and he does very well, and this is a side job. The other guy, the second guy, this is his entire business. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll throw him the extra $500. So agree on a price, get the thing ready. They come out and dig it out. And I'm sitting here when they're pouring it, and I'm watching them pour it. And I, you know, when you pour a driveway, you have to be very mindful of pitch, because especially where I'm at, we're on a corner, so everything pitches, you know, kind of towards the middle of the yard and then towards where they poured the old concrete. That's got to run out to the driveway and then drive it out to the street. And over the years, we've had some water problems in the basement. Part of it has to do with, there was like, the driveway was shot. It looked like something from Wagon Train, you know, hi-ya, waiting for the horses to come through. So the idea was to make sure as much water from that comes in, maybe two or three times a year where it's really bad, runs right out to the street. And we agreed on that. So there we go, and they're putting the driveway in, and they're starting to pour this thing, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, something's wrong here. This pitch is not exactly where it needs to be. And so, but look, I had the conversation with the guys. No, I'll pitch it back here, do this and that. Okay. So I leave it to him to do that. And inside of me, that nagging voice is like, I don't think this is right. So they get the thing set up. And look, when concrete is done, it's done. You know, you can't, there's no change in your mind. After about an hour, you're screwed. So it's not even 30 minutes, depends. And it was a hot day, so it was set up pretty quick. And there was a couple other things that didn't look kind of, it looked a little wonky, but you know, there's side job stuff and okay, fine. And then he leaves. And he sends a kid back about 4 hours later to finish a couple pieces that had to be in. And I keep looking at this pitch in the back part of the driveway, and I'm thinking this is not good because it's meeting the old concrete that comes out of the garage, and it's going to cause where they meet, one's higher than the other, and there's going to be a pool there. So started a dialogue. I'm condensing all this. Started a dialogue with this guy. I'd already paid him half the money, and it came down for the second payment, and I stopped payment on the check. I said, this needs to be looked at. We need to figure it out. And this was on the phone on a Friday night. And he started ramping up the conversation. And I said, well, look, you know, we just need to see what else we can do. He already put a saw cut in between the joints, which will help drainage, but that's not, you know, it should have been different. And I don't know if there's any other options, but I want to talk about it before I give him the rest of the money. And this guy starts ramping up the conversation on the phone. And I'm just calling, you know, saying, look, I'm not paying you the rest till we discuss this. And up you go, MFU, and you're an MFer. I'm like, wait, what? And this went up and escalating more and more. And he's reading me the riot act like I'm some guy that works on his crew. I'm the paying customer. And this guy is just ramping it up. And I finally said, have you been drinking? Are you high? I mean, who do you think you're talking to here? And MFU, and you're an MFer, and you're a cheater and liar. And I'm like, wait, do you even know who you're talking to? This went on for about 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, that was it. Snap. And I responded in kind. And I've, you know, been around a couple places where I've learned some words, you know. And listen, I've worked very, very hard the last, 40 years of my life, probably 30 for sure, to change my ways. You know, I was a hothead as a young guy. I was a bouncer at bars. I've been thrown out of bars. I've been in scuffles, fights, you name it. I've done all that stuff. And I know that it doesn't come to anything, but it was always my default position. At one point in my life, believe it or not, I wanted to be the guy that people walked across the street from. That they wouldn't be on the same side of the street with me. They'd be so scared that they want nothing to do with me. And I lived that for a very long time. So I've worked very hard not to fall back into that where I want to, you know, basically pull out some guy's Abdullah Ablangad and shove it up his ass. And yet this it's pushing and pushing, and I could feel it building. And I'm just responding and kind of eventually, without even realizing it, I find myself outside at the edge of the driveway screaming at the top of my lungs. You MFer, you come over here and say that, you know, and he's screaming back at me. And my girlfriend walks out, calmly takes the phone away and says, go in the house. I didn't even realize I was out there. That's what happens. And so I went in and she calmed it down and calmed the situation down. I talked to the guy a couple times. And while there were questions what we had, she agreed to pay him. And when she talked to him, it was a totally different tone, of course. He was like, well, if I ever run into John, I'll apologize. I'm like, no. If you ever run into me, you might be at the dentist after that. So this all this was going on. And it really, really chewed on my ass. I mean, it was like a test. And the truth is, again, if it's 4 or 5 days out of the whole year, that might be a problem. Even though there's things that should have been done from a craftsman point of view that I disagree with, that's the truth of it. And so 360 days a year, it's not a problem. So, you know, you kind of make the case for it. And by the next morning, and I actually called my son that night, he's like, Dad, don't kill him. You can't do the stuff you did in the 70s and 80s, you'll go to jail. And he was getting married in a few weeks. And I want you here. I don't want you in prison. Okay, fine. So all that kind of settles down. And it's been bothering me ever since how I responded to that. And I knew at some point I will run into that guy again. Because in my observation, how my life has played out, some of these larger life laws that are in place, what goes around comes around. You know, pop quizzes are there all the time. just to see if you've passed the test. You really think you're growing, you really think you're evolving, you really think that you're moving forward in life. Easy to do on a radio show. Easy to do when you're reading a book. Easy to do when you put up a post on Facebook and say, here's how things are. But when you run smack dab into it on a Friday and the guy's reaming you and you want to go wring his neck, that's when the rubber meets the road and I failed the test, in my opinion. So that was in September. I think it was the first week of September. So here it is now, December. And this morning I go to the gym and heading over there, and it's a kind of a wonky way to get into the parking lot, and there's this kind of high grass. They got these decorative grasses. It's kind of hard to see on the other side, but I was coming into the parking lot, and I saw this guy coming the other way and turn, and I'm parallel with him with the grass, and I don't have a stop sign, and he does. So I make the right turn to go towards the gym, and he does not stop and kind of rolls through it and then slams on his brakes. I'm like, I don't have a stop sign. You do. You're not stopping. In my mind, I'm thinking this. And so I kind of nod to him. We're okay. No problem. No harm, no foul. And I start driving and pull around. And before I could even turn to get in the spot, here's this guy, cuts me off and rolls down his window and starts talking to me the same way the guy did that laid the concrete. You MF-er. You're a stupid M. And I'm listening. And I'm just sitting there staring at this guy. Now, this man had to be 75, maybe older, and screaming out his window at me. And his car's beat to shit. It's a shit box, which means he's been in predicaments before. And I'm just sitting there looking at this guy. And the first thing that came to my mind, I said, pop test, pop quiz. How are you going to respond to this? There's a part of me that already had the steering wheel into the death grip. Car's in park. I could get out, yank the guy out of his car, and beat the shit out of him. Can't do that. Would have done that. Can't do that. That's the difference between reacting and responding. Reacting means my blood pressure goes up, ding, out the car door. Here we go. We're full at it. He'd lose. I'd lose too. And responding was that three deep breaths. Take a second. I looked at this old man who was probably scared to death when he came through there, and this is how he responds to everything. And it was no different than the guy pouring the concrete, except I just stared at him. Didn't say a word. And he continued to just throw up outside of the car and verbally. And I just sit there looking at him, and I thought, he is so scared. This is the only way he knows how to express himself. Even though I waved him off and even though nothing happened, this is what he does. His whole life, my guess is. And so, fuck, F you, I'm sorry. And then he takes off, squeals the wheel, takes off. And I just sat there and I thought, pass the test. Pass the test. So I parked my car and I go into the gym and I see this guy walking. There's a Goodwill store there and the people wait in line at 8:30 to open up to get in there at 9 o'clock to go peruse the place. And he's walking around like looking for me in line. I'm thinking, I'm on the treadmill going at it. I'm thinking, he's just bent. And then I thought to myself, as I thought with the first guy, this is a part of me. This is a mirror part of me that I used to be. And I kid you not, there are a few people that are subscribers to this podcast. And there are people that listen that know me from the other time. If you ever need some validation thinking, wasn't John always this great guy? No, I wasn't. I never intentionally harmed people, but I have a fuse that's about a quarter inch long. And I've worked over the years to lengthen it because the world at large will just go on and light the fuse every day. I've had to be very diligent about, you know, screening things out and be careful what I watch and all, because otherwise it just gnaws at you. So here's the deal with this. My friend, the late, great Wayne Dyer, one of my favorite quotes that he has is that how people treat you is their karma. How you respond is yours. And I keep that in mind. You know, it's the old fight fire with fire and you just get more fire. Not once have anybody ever showed up at a blaze in Chicago, the fire department, to pull out flamethrowers. Why would you add to that? They take out water hoses to knock it down. And so either you fight fire with fire or you fight it with water. And water is far more effective than fighting fire with fire. But it's not easy. I think that most of us, and I'm using a very blanket statement here where I'm careful about doing that, you know, we're pretty on edge. There isn't a day that goes by, whether it's COVID or a school shooting or a bombing, or I don't care what it is, you know, whether it's some trial wherever that we're all in on. We never would have been on it before, but now everybody knows it every second. And I think our central nervous systems, I know for sure mine, has become eroded over the years. You know, where's the promise of life? Where is it that we showed up here, one out of 400 trillion odds of being born, and we put up with this shit every day? Well, it's a matter of choice. And it's a matter of response versus react. And there was a time that most of what I did was just react. Come what may. Hell or high water. Consequences don't matter. And I paid the price for that over the times that I remained that way. So now, as I've attempted, and it is literally like I have to remove myself from situations that I know will trigger me, that's a maturity that I never used to have. Didn't care. I remember about 2 years ago, I was in Jewel, or Jewels, as we say in Chicago. You got to go down to the Jewels over there. And I was at the deli. It was 4th of July. And all I wanted to get some lunch meat or whatever, and I'm standing there with my ticket. And this obviously very drunk guy came up, and there's four or five people behind the deli counter, and they're all African-American. And this guy lays into him. He doesn't have a ticket. He's just there. I don't know why he's there. He's not ordering. And he starts talking about how they shouldn't have a job, and that, you know, and I'm like, are you out of your mind? You know? I mean, and then he looks at me. He's, oh, you think you're, I'm like, where do you people come from? You know, there's a rock somewhere. Go back underneath it before you get hurt. And so finally his girlfriend or whatever came up and she was starting to pull him away. And I said, yeah, it's best that, you know, maybe you have him leave and whatever's going on here, this is not a good thing. And she started with you. Why don't you just mind your own goddamn business? Oh my gosh. My mom used to say birds of a feather flock together. I say, if you don't like the flock, tell them to flock off in a good way. And so these triggers that pop up, I'm constantly on guard for those type of things. And so when I looked at that guy today, I kept thinking about the part of me that would have, you know, been hair trigger as well on something. And that I've worked to not be that way anymore. To me, that's the evolution within your own lifetime that you're hoping to see. But that karmic thing, you know, it's not like I have a list somewhere of going, well, I did this today good, so tomorrow this good thing will happen to me. Some of them I've been able to recognize and some I may never have recognized at all and happened anyway. But that karma thing is important. It is the constant, what you put out comes back, what goes around comes around, and what you reap you sow. Those are just energetic laws of the world. And that's not to say that bad things don't happen to really good people, but it's still in how they respond that determines how they move forward or not. So this morning was a test. And I was just outside, you know, it's 60 degrees in Chicago here today. You're hearing this on Saturday. I'm taping it on Thursday. Full disclosure. And I'm out putting Christmas stuff up, and the Santa Claus had a little rip in it and a tear, and I'm, you know, at this point, Christmas is kind of up and down for me. It's great, but, you know, I've seen it 100 times, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time doing it like I used to, but I put stuff up outside, and I was sitting there thinking about this incident this morning, and all of a sudden, it just, like a little light bulb went off. This is the same guy who was pouring the concrete. He just looked different, and in life, if we don't learn a lesson, it comes back to us. It may be in a different form through a different person or a different situation, but to me, that's part of our growth and our evolution. These very difficult times are opportunities in disguise, and usually we stop short of that. We only see the difficulty, whatever it may be, whether it's dealing with some asshole who cuts you off in traffic or, you know, just recognizing that there's 99% of what's going on in the world you can't control, and all you can do is get pissed off so you don't watch it. The school shooting that happened a few days ago in Michigan, I believe, it's a tragedy. But I'm guessing that you've become fairly numb to that, as I have, which is sad. It's happened over time. Once a bunch of fourth graders were slaughtered, not much was done. I thought, well, that's, you know, where do you go from there? So now it's become, you know, what we allow, we become. And what we become, we allow. It's very simple, yet very difficult to do. And so now this is just another thing in the headlines. You go to CNN or MSNBC or Fox, there's 1,000 headlines up there. It's just one of them. And so our inability, at least I can speak for myself, to do anything about that is crushing. So you pull back, at least I do, and I say, well, I can't engage in that. It's sad, it's difficult, it's terrible, it's heartbreaking, and I can't do a thing about it. What I can do is things like this morning. To not escalate something, to not aggravate something, you know, to sit there and let this man unload and realize it had zero to do with me. Zero. And my guess is, unfortunately, the people in his life probably deal with this crap all the time. So I don't know if I'll ever see this guy again. I was just saying the other day, not two or three days ago, we were talking about the driveway thing. I'll see this guy again. I didn't know it would be so soon and in a different costume. And it was just this open kind of door for me to look at myself and look at who I used to be and say, I don't need to do that. So while I didn't end up out in the driveway this time, cussing up a storm, threatening, you know, removal of some guy's appendages, I didn't even have a flinch this morning when this took place. And I'm proud of that, mostly for myself. This is an older man, obviously, you know, not a lot going on, for whatever. And I saw it as that. And it wasn't more than 10 minutes on the treadmill. I think, oh, that's who I used to be at times. So I can kind of forgive that and let that go. So the whole concept of karma, I think, is something that's very, very important. Technically, we're talking about the law of cause and effect, right? I mean, there is, depending on who you talk to and the beliefs that you have, some people think they come to this life with a certain karma to work that out. And that may or may not be that, you know, I can't speak to that one way or the other, but I can get on board with the cause and effect thing. What goes up must come down. What goes in must come out. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's Newton's law. Third law, by the way. And I see that so much in the world. And it's like a seesaw. It goes up and down and up and down and up and down. And then you ride the seesaw 24 hours, 365, it'll wear your ass out. So I start to think that the more I go along in life, the more aware I am, the more conscious I become, the more responsible I have to be, which is really the ability to respond, which is not reacting. And I think that's all I can do in my sphere of influence. This podcast, for example, if you're listening in Melbourne today or in Toronto or wherever, Los Angeles, if you hear what I'm talking about and you run into this situation, at least you will have an example of there's the difference between reacting and responding. Reacting is you tear the guy's tonsils out. Comes to nothing. Responding is those three deep breaths or even two and sit there and say, this isn't about me. This has nothing to do with me. Now, if they're attacking you with some sort of weapon, that's a little different. But in these type of situations, you'd be amazed at the power of stillness and the power of non-confrontation and the power of standing in your own power. I just sat in the car and this guy was just, screaming. And I put the window down, I just looked at him, and then there was no response. That was the water on the fire. Had I started engaging in it? Escalation without any question. It would come to nothing. Well, it would come to something, but nothing good. Let's put it that way. So to wrap this up, keeping this under 30 minutes today, it was just a quick outing in karma. And when I came back after patching Santa Claus, I thought about Wayne and that concept of how people treat you as their karma. This guy lives this way. That concrete guy lives that way. I can choose not to, but that's how I respond. How people treat you is their karma. How you respond is yours. Thanks for listening. Until next time, safe travels. Adios.